addressing himself as the Lord of hosts is with us. From the viewpoint of that name, it means the Lord of the armies. 1 Samuel 17:45. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua is asking the captain of the Lord of the hosts, are you with us? For whom are you for? Are you for us? And the angel of the Lord says, I am the captain of the Lord of the hosts. Take off your shoes, for the place you are standing is. Now when we have that statement, the Lord of hosts is with us, this means that God is in a sovereign capacity. He is preeminent. He is providentially dealing with us in the plan. Every criteria that we will encounter, he has taken into account. Every circumstance that we will find ourselves in, he has chosen to be there with us. In every emergency that we might have, he has decided that he will provide. At this point of time, the psalmist is saying, the Lord of hosts is with us. In one sense, this is a term that is used when the people of God are under attack. And they find themselves in adversities and circumstances and conflict wherein which they are powerless to overcome. Then it says, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. I like that. Why does it say the God of Jacob? Now, if you look at the name Jacob, what does it mean? You know what it means? He is constantly manipulating his way into God's plan. You can say he surfeits, he cheats, he deceives, he manipulates, he schemes. You can look at a lot of synonyms. And then at the end of it, we can say our name there. But God is not ashamed to say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Because apart from a revelation of his nature as it relates to redemption, we would never be in a place where we could confess him as being our stronghold. This is a place that a believer runs to for refuge. That is Psalm 46 verse 1. Now you cannot go to a place of refuge unless you know the character of the one that will shield you. Am I right? Am I right? The first part has to do with our adversaries. The second part has to do with our personal infirmities. The first part has to do with what? Our adversaries. The second part has to do with our... God will eventually be victorious over our adversaries. And we will eventually one day be victorious over our adversaries. There's no question about it. But God is saying something unique. He wants us to get to know him in a personal manner from the viewpoint of who the God of Jacob is. I have a couple of points more and then I'll address it. There is a tremendous difference between unbelief and disbelief. When a person functions in unbelief, it is because the person is unwilling to appropriate the provisions that God has made available to him. He is what? A person who lives in unbelief. Unbelief is when God has made known his provisions. His provisions are available to the person to whom he wishes to make it known. But the person is not willing to appropriate what God has made available to that person. That is unbelief. Now, disbelief is when the person is not in a place where he is willing to consider God's provisions at all. Therefore, there is no way he can possibly appropriate it. Is that clear? In one case, a person is aware of the fact that God has made his provisions available, but he is not in the place at that particular point of time where he is willing to appropriate those provisions, even though those provisions have been available to him. Like in Jacob's case, God has given him certain kinds of promises, 7 specific communications from 25 onwards, right unto the end of the book. If you come down to chapter 35, God speaks to him. He knows what God means when he says it, but immediately after what God says, he does what he so desires to do. So in Genesis chapter 28, God appeared to him, and God beautifully gave him that dream. Correct? And in the dream, there was that ladder. He was promised something unique in the dream. Immediately after the dream, 29 and 30 and 31, he acts contrary to what was spoken in 28. Go home and read it. Once again in 32. In 32, he says, God was in this place. God says in 28 to him, what is your name? And he says, my name is what? Jacob. And he says, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but then he's asking the angel of the Lord, what is your name? Interesting. In 32, Bethel is the house of God. He names that place now. In 32 of the book of Genesis, it's very interesting. He sees the face of God. His socket of his thigh is touched. He limps. Correct? God makes a promise to him. 33 and 34. He acts exactly the opposite of what God says in 32. What is Jacob acting in? Unbelief. Meaning deep down he knows what God is saying, what God means when he says, but somehow he just cannot help himself to believe in what God is saying. Why? Because he wants what God is saying to happen now. So words like patience, long-suffering, forbearance are all words in the aorist tense. They don't mean anything. Patience, the patience of God, the forbearance of God, the long-suffering of God. Why are these words used in the scriptures? Because man is in the place where he is either living in unbelief or... So, in the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, 17 and 18. Just like to read these verses. Now, these are people. Who are these people in Hebrews 3? God's people. Did they just decide to just take off from Egypt and just go to the promised land? Did they just decide they're just going to take off? Or were they specifically led? Were they specifically directed? Were there specific provisions given to them? In every aspect of their life, God had ordered their life. He ordered their life in the way. But see what happened here. For who provoked him? Okay. And with whom he was angry for 40 years. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest? So, who provoked him? With whom was he angry? And to whom did he swear? So, three things are mentioned here. In verse 16, rebellion. In verse 17, sin. In verse 18, disobedience. But in verse 19, this is it. So we see that they were not able to enter because of not disbelief. Are you with me? I'm closing. After you leave the room, you can do whatever you want with the message. There was a kind of reaction of God's people to God. God's people. Psalm 37. Commit your way to the Lord and He will do it. Right? What is the word there before that? Trust what? Huh? Also in Him. Commit your way into the Lord, He will do it. God said, no, He will do it. What does it say? Trust what? So when the adversary is introduced into our lives, the Lord of hosts shows Himself. When we have a name change from Israel to Jacob, not from Jacob to Israel, from Israel to Jacob. Before God, I am Israel. Before my plan, I am Jacob. Then the God of Jacob becomes my refuge. See, this is the thing. Even though God knows in my heart that I am like Jacob, God is still there to receive me, even though I function as Him. It is not that God is trying to change me. It is that God cannot deny Himself. And when I come to this conclusion that God cannot deny Himself, that changes me. Is that clear? Do you understand that? That's very important. There is a tremendous demand that is placed upon people's lives to operate according to a pattern that is set for them. That may not be the pattern that God has planned for them, but that is the pattern that sometimes people ordain for other people. And then God begins to move. So Rebecca had a set pattern for her son. She planned it, she got him into it, and she said, now run with it. He was running for 30 years before it came to pass. I don't know how long God would have taken it, would have done it, had that scheming not happened. But you see, what was he learning? Genesis chapter, when he is making the promises, to his children before he passes away. I love this verse in Genesis 49:18. Just one line. He is prophesying to all the children that he has. But one line in Genesis 49:18. For your salvation I wait, O Lord. That's it. What has he learned at the end of his life? Huh? Jacob came to understand that in Isaiah 41 verses 14, he was just a worm. Someone calls you a worm, what will be your response? At least the worm catches the fish. He says, God says, what, Isaiah 41 verse 14. Israel is addressed, that Jacob is addressed a worm. But it says, even though you are in that situation, I will be with you, for I am the Lord your Redeemer. Then in the next verse it says, I will use you as a sledge to thresh the nations. See, God just does not now show himself to be the God of Jacob. He also shows himself to be the captain of the Lord of the hosts with his people. When David stumbled into the field, how did he approach the battle? He approached the battle as Isaiah chapter 41 verse 14. In humility. But how did he end up leaving the battlefield? How did he end up leaving the battlefield? That's an interesting thing. Satan may not be so preoccupied with us, with the fact that we understand who the captain of the Lord of the host is, that God will meet every contingency that we have, but he does not want us to know that the God of Jacob, not just know the God of Jacob, but that the God of Jacob is our stronghold. What is a stronghold? It's a safe haven. Finally, in closing, in the book of Genesis, in the 28th chapter, in when God meets him, and then later on in the 35th chapter, in Genesis 32, the name changes. I would like to point out two things before I close. In Genesis 32 verse 28 and Genesis 35 verse 10. In Genesis 32, when his name is changed, verse 28, to Jacob, God is not asking him, what is your name? God is making a declaration of him. God said to him, your name is, what? In verse 10 of 35, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your. Didn't God say that in Genesis 32:28? Yes or no? Why is God saying that to him again? God is saying that to him again because he wants Jacob, that has broken through his maturity barrier, because he finds himself in 35:1 back in the place where God has him finally. Now, when God told him to go to Bethel, he did not go to Bethel. He went to Peniel. From Peniel to Bethel. After that, it was only 30 miles. How many miles? How long is that from here? Maybe to Hoskote or something, halfway to Bangarpet. You know how many years it took to go there? 10 years. He settled in that place and never went. In between that is Genesis 33 and 34. Terrible things. His fear with Esau, the problem that happens with his daughter, and the Sheshemites were murdered brutally. All because he delayed and his family reaped the consequences of his choices. But he did not stay there. He progressed. In chapter 35, he goes, arise, go up to Bethel and live there and make an altar. And he moves there and he called the name of that place in verse 7 of 35, El Bethel. Not just Bethel, but El Bethel. Genesis 28 was Bethel. Genesis 35:7 was El Bethel. Why is God saying that to him? Your name shall be called and Israel shall be your name. Because God is now reinstating him fully in his position. What is it? He is reinstating him fully in his position. When in Luke 15, I have to close, the prodigal son came home, the father, by approaching him and by confirming him and by putting the robe and the ring and the shoes on him, was reinstating him back into his position. When Jesus met Peter on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was reinstating him back into his position. What is happening here in 35? God is reinstating Jacob back into his what? Position. From this time onwards, Jacob has broken off with everything that relates to his past. Three things happen here. Number one, the nurse dies, Deborah. Number two, Rachel dies. And number three, his father Isaac dies. There's a break from the natural life. There's a break from a carnal life. And then there's a break from his generational life of the past. There's a break. And in that chapter, in 35, you will see, there's a break in the link. He is completely delivered from that which is of the past, and he is now functioning as a prince. Operationally, he is functioning in that capacity. You understand that? Do you understand that? So God is, the Lord of the hosts is with us. He is a God that will meet our every contingency. But the relationship in the plan has to do with understanding, not the captain of the Lord of the hosts. It has to do with understanding the God of Jacob is our stronghold. David knew how to go to God because he knew he would not get mercy and grace from people. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, he encouraged himself in the Lord. I get so tired sometimes when people confess, I went to so and so and that person did this and said this and did this and that to me. And you know, this one did that, that one this, I called this one up and that one said that and that person said this to that and that to this and this to that and that to this. You use those words only if you are lacking in English vocabulary. And you make a sentence, I went this and this went to that and that said this to that. And that came because this happened and that happened because this came. And then you can write a whole one page and submit it as your ABD assignment. No. God, thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for leadership and ministry. And thank God for all these things. But they are not the final authority. God is. God is the final authority. God's word is a final authority. If you were to look at Jacob's life and say, okay, God, are you done with him now? Haven't we told you? You said the older shall serve the younger. Okay. Then based on how he lives his life, didn't I tell you that was a wrong choice from the very beginning? But you didn't listen to us. In the end, God perfects what he begins. And I love the fact that in the end, God will perfect what he has started. He perfects what he starts. And in 35, he doesn't say the house of God. He says, this is the God of the house. And now he is in the place where there is a breakthrough from the inside and there's a manifestation that is now taking place because he has finally learned to wait and see the salvation of the Lord. Many times we can be abort what God has planned in the operational sense. And God allows that to happen Because these delays many times will only teach us about who God is. In the meantime, the person will learn to reap what he sows, and he will experience the sorrows of reaping what he sows. But God will always show himself as the God of Jacob. And he will show himself not just as the God of Jacob, but as a God of that is a stronghold in our lives. Father, we thank you this evening. You reveal yourself to us in mysterious ways. You tell us that we have victory over our adversaries. You are a God of contingencies. You supply our every need. And yet we can provoke you. Yeah. We can choose to be disobedient. We can live in unbelief, disbelief. And yet you are a God that does not withdraw your hand from us. And we thank you for that tonight. That when we look at the lives of these patriarchs and the errors that were made, we can recognize that there is tremendous hope in you. We thank you for the revelation of the finished work through Dr. Stevens, that he has understood it and given it to us as a gift of grace. And thank you that we have it with us, and may we look to the lost and the dying world and each other in the body of Christ and recognize that this is our only hope in this life. And to allow decisions to be made in the lives of people where they will discover who the God of Jacob is in their own personal lives. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And pray for the 14th, the Sunday. We basically are having a potluck there. It will be told to you what you need to bring, whether it's going to be a burnt meal, peace, transgression, and whatever offering. So just get excited about the days to come. Okay? God bless.